So the question that we're going to discuss is whether or not a nurse has a right to strike along with all of her colleagues. And I'm sorry that the beginning just got cut off, but just to catch everybody up on the recording, what happened was there is a impending strike here in New York City. 17,000 nurses are talking about striking on January 10th. And there is a particular nurse in our community who asked. She works on a pediatric unit for cardiac issues. And obviously her children that she's looking after are going to need very critical care. And she said that obviously when you have a travel nurse coming from another location and taking over your patients, they are not going to get as good a care as they would get from the one who knows them well, from the one who's been tending to their needs for the last couple of weeks, from the one who knows how to navigate the hospital and where all the medications are and where everything that is necessary to properly tend to a patient. Obviously, that is going to be compromised. And the Shaila is, and I think it's a very, very serious, important, and interesting question, is a religious doctor or medical professional, anyone who works in that apparatus, are they allowed to go along with a union strike or perhaps not? So let's begin with the Gemara Masechah Sanhedrin, where we're told that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city where they don't have a competent doctor, because that obviously is something that is so important to all of us. We need to look after our own health. We need to make sure that we have someone who can care for us when perhaps we are not feeling well. And that is something that is considered a staple of a community, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Deis as well. Now, the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Kama Daf Pehei, when somebody injures another person, so they are liable for all sorts of incurred damages that have now come on to this individual, and all costs that come about as a result of whatever it is that they have done. So say, for example, someone is involved in a car accident, they were reckless, they weren't being careful enough, and as a result of that, they not only damage the other person's car, which they obviously need to pay for or file the insurance claim, whatever it is, they need to do whatever it is to make up for the car. But if the person was hurt and now they have hospital bills, I have to take care of the medical expenses as well. That's part of my responsibility when I injure another person. So the Gemara says, what happens if I injure another person and I say, hey, don't go to the hospital. I'm a doctor and I can tend to your needs and I can take care of you. Why make me pay for the medical expenses when I can take care of all of it without paying? I can treat you in my office. Come in tonight. I'll take care of you. The person has a right to say, says the Gemara, Asya Chana, I'm not interested in your services. Damis alai ka arya arva. You look like a big lion in my eyes. You just caused me this terrible damage. You just did this irresponsible, reckless behavior that caused me to be in this position. I don't want to accept your treatment. And therefore, the Gemara says, this person has a right to go to a hospital, to be treated like everyone else, and to send the medical expenses back to the person who caused them the harm. Now, says the Gemara, let's say I don't have the gall to say to this person who was injured, I'm going to treat you. But rather I say, I have plenty of friends, I have fellow doctors, I have many colleagues who will be happy to do me a favor. So why go to the hospital and cause me to spend money instead of going to my friend who will be very happy to take care of you for free? So am I able to get away with the expense by pushing this person to then go to one of my friends instead of going to the hospital? Says the Gemara, if I say, my sina asya demagen, I'm going to bring you a free doctor visit because my friends are not going to charge someone who I recommended, who I sent, who I'm asking them to do me a favor. The Gemara says that the injured individual has a right to say back, asya demagen bemagen shavya, you get what you pay for. If I'm going to use a free service, I'm going to get no service. And therefore, I'm not interested in your favors. I want to go to the hospital like everybody else, and I'm going to send you the medical bills like I would in any other case. And I don't care about the fact that you have friends. And the Rush there explains that even though it's a good friend of mine, and even though I have full trust and confidence in him, the person who is injured can say that since he's not mekabel schar, since the doctor is not being paid, Ein libo umachshavto medaktek beikur tzorach achola. He is not going to be as committed to the needs of the patient as he would otherwise be if he was being paid. And therefore, the Gemara assumes that you do not have to go along with it. So it's very important that not only do we have a doctor in town, but that we pay the doctor. Because, as the Gemara says, if you don't pay the doctor properly, he is not going to be as attentive or as mindful to the patient's needs as he otherwise would if he was being paid. And based on this, the Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush in Hilchos Shabbos where he says, let's say I have a mialedes, a midwife, or if you have a gynecologist, right? You have a doctor who helps women give birth, and that's obviously critical care. That's something that pikuach nefesh is on the line. When a woman is in the stages of labor, when a woman is giving birth, that is something that we take very seriously on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if I have a mialedes and she goes to work on Shabbos, is she allowed to be paid? Generally, we say, I'm not allowed to be paid for work I do on Shabbos. So how can this woman accept payment if she's a doula and she goes to help a woman on Shabbos, if that's her whole job? and she only did the work on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah Berurah says, she's allowed to accept the payment. Why? So the poskim explained the reason why is because if you call up the doula and say, you know, I need your services, please come with me to the hospital, help me through the labor, help me through the delivery, and I just say from the outside, by the way, I just want to know you're not going to be paid because it's Shabbos. But of course, you're such a wonderful doula, and I would expect you to come with me anyway because we've developed such a wonderful relationship. How careful do you think the doula is going to be? How much do you think the doula is going to be invested in helping this patient when she knows from the outset she's not going to be paid? And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, we have a right to pay her, and she has a right to accept it because we need to encourage the doctor or the medical professional to do their job properly, which is why Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a suffix. Let's say a doctor is a major tzaddik or a major tzaddikus, and they say, I'm not accepting money, please, you're my friend. Rabbi Akiva Eiger even has a suffix. He quotes it from the Shavuos Yaakov, other Achronim. Is he even able to deny payment? You would say, it's so nice. Of course. What do you mean? He's a good friend of mine. I don't want to take money. I don't want to charge them. But the Rabbi Akiva Eiger discusses, is he even allowed to say, I'm not accepting payment? Because maybe part of what we know is the driving force behind us doing a good job at anything we do is the fact that we know we're going to be compensated. And therefore, if a doctor is going to deny that compensation, even though it's very well-meaning, perhaps he doesn't even have a right to do that. So on the one hand, paying a doctor properly is critically important. Paying any medical professional to do their job well is very, very important. And as we see, people are willing to pay privately for medical attention and to do whatever is necessary to take care of their own medical needs. And that makes sense. On the other hand, if you have a doctor who is proficient, if you have a doctor or a medical professional who knows how to treat a patient, and because of money, they're going to say, oh, you're not willing to pay me? I'm not willing to treat you. So somebody is watching a football game, and they see that the football player falls down, has a heart attack right in the middle of the stadium, right? Imagine such a thing. And now he's laying down there right in the middle, and you say, oh, I'm not going to administer CPR until somebody puts up money before I do that to pay me for my services. That would be insane. Why would it be insane? What do you mean? I'm entitled to be compensated. Yeah, we'll deal with that later. And either you will be paid or you won't be paid, but you're going to say, I'm not going to be a good Samaritan because I'm not being paid, because I wasn't given the money up front. Nobody would say that. So obviously, that is something that would not be allowed. For me to withhold my services because somebody's not paying would be an issue of, as the Torah says, lo samod al dam reyecha. I'm not allowed to stand idly by while I'm watching somebody else potentially lose their life. And the Chafetz Chaim talks about this in the Sefer Avas Chesed, quotes a Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, quotes a story in the Gemara by Rabbi Kiva ben Petura. The Gemara has a famous story about when you have two people who are in the desert and they're lost and they don't have enough water for both of them. So should I share the water and both of us will die, or should I keep the water for myself and I'll be able to live and unfortunately my friend won't be able to make it through the experience? So what am I supposed to do? The Chafetz Chaim says, the Gemara's whole discussion there is only whether Chayecha Kodman, do I come first when I'm going to lose my life, or do we say that I can't watch somebody else lose his life and let us both die? That's the Gemara's discussion. But he says, if it would come to money, if it would be that I have to give up all my money to save that person, then I would have to do it. If it's giving up my life, the Gemara says, don't give up your life for someone else's life. But if we're talking about giving up my money, then of course I would have to do it. How do you know? Says the Chafetz Chaim. Because what is the most expensive item that I can now have while I'm walking through the desert? A bottle of water. And the Gemara says, I would have to give the bottle of water to my friend if he's going to die. If I have enough for myself, but I have a little bit left for him, I have to give it to him, even though this is the greatest commodity right now. We're in the desert. We have nowhere else to find water. And yet I would have to give it up, says the Chafetz Chaim. You see from there that I would have an obligation to give up all of my money, potentially, to give up an exorbitant amount of money to be able to save another person's life. And from there, we have the halacha, as the Chafetz Chaim writes, that a doctor who has the ability to save a patient and chooses not to because of money, that is something that is unacceptable. That is lo samod al dam reyecha. And the Rambam quotes this, and he says, kala yachal lahatzil v'lo hitzil, if somebody has the ability to save another person's life and they choose not to, over al lo samod al dam reyecha, you are violating the isur d'oraisa of lo samod al dam reyecha. The Shulchan Aruch writes this as well, and the Shulchan Aruch adds a statement by saying, hareza shofech damim, not only is it lo samod al dam reyecha, it's tantamount to murder. It's as if you're watching somebody losing their life when you have the ability to save them and you're choosing not to do it. That would be considered like shvichas damim. And that would be something that certainly would not be allowed. So we have this tension. On the one hand, we need to pay a doctor. We need to pay a medical professional. So much so the Gemara says that we go to the extreme. Even if he offers the services of his friend, I'm allowed to deny it and I send him the medical bills if he damaged me. On the other hand, a doctor himself is not allowed to say, well, I'm not going to treat you because you didn't pay me. That would be something that really would not be appropriate at all. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very interesting shaila. If we have a prohibition of Lo Samar Adam Reyecha, if I have the ability to save someone's life, I have to go out and actually do it, says Rav Moshe, then why don't we all have an obligation to go to medical school? If I'll train myself, I'll go to medical school, and then I'll know how to save someone's life, I'll be able to save a life. But if I don't go to medical school, I'm just like everyone else, and then I won't be able to help people when they're in need. So doesn't Lo Samar Adam Reyecha obligate me to then go to medical school, train myself to be able to save a life? To that, says Rav Moshe, no. You're not mechuyev to go for training, to go to school, to learn how to do it. The same thing, Rav Moshe makes a similar comment when it comes to giving tzedakah. So Rav Moshe says, if somebody wants to retire, and as a direct result of their retirement, they're obviously going to have to cut back on their charitable givings. Why? Because they're not going to have as much income, so therefore they can't give away as much. So Rav Moshe says, am I mechuyev to stay on the job forever because I want to be able to give tzedakah? Or do you say, no, it's appropriate at some point in my life that I have the right to cut back. And even though cutting back, I'm going to have enough for myself, I won't have for others, but such is the consequence, and I have a right to do that. Rav Moshe says, no, the mitzvah of tzedakah is, if you have money, you give it away. Meiser Ksafa means if I have extra, I give it away. But if I don't have that, I don't have an obligation to go find a job in order to be able to give money to tzedakah. That's not something that the Torah expects of me. So this is the tension that we find. Union strikes in a hospital, as we said, are a very sensitive and very heavy question that we're going to have to get into. But let's zoom out the lens a little bit and first talk about a strike in general. What does the halacha say about a union who decides, the postal workers all decide they're going on strike, or the railroad operators all decide, we're not coming to work today, we're going to ruin the system, we're not going to be able to come to work because we're negotiating for some other conditions, work conditions aren't good enough, the pay isn't good enough, the benefits, whatever it may be, does an employee have a halachic right to do that or not? So let us begin with the Rambam in Hilchos Schirus. The Rambam writes in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Zayin, Kederech Shemuzar Bala Bayis Shelo Yigzal Schar Ha'ani. Just like an employer has an obligation to look after the employees, and I have to pay them on time, and I'm not allowed to withhold the paycheck, so too, says the Rambam, it goes in the other direction as well. The employee, who's doing the job, has to make sure, shelo yigzal meleches balabayis. He has to make sure not to steal from his employer, which means, if I'm working a job, and I'm going to be sitting checking my emails the whole time, instead of doing the work that I'm supposed to do, or I'm going to be surfing the internet looking for other things, or I once had a call from a local doctor's office where they said they were very upset that I post shiurim online. So I said, what's the problem? They said, our women who are working in the office managing the desks are not doing their jobs properly because they're busy listening to your shiur. So they asked me to stop posting online. I said, that's between you and your workers in the office. It's not my problem. But I agree. So I gave a shiur the next week about, I knew they were listening. So I gave a shiur about work ethic and what is the expectation of an employee when they're at their job. How much is considered to be reasonable? Of course, my employer doesn't expect that I'm going to be sitting at my desk every single second, working and paying attention and never going to get a drink and never going up to eat lunch. Of course, there's a reasonable expectation. It's not reasonable to expect that when I'm running a doctor's office and there are patients coming in and patients leaving, there are parents coming and people calling and phones ringing off the hook, it's not reasonable to say, I'm sorry, for the next half hour I'm not available because I'm listening to a shiur. That doesn't make any sense. So of course, everybody has to work out the appropriate boundaries that work for their office. But the Rambam here describes what is the proper attitude that an employer is supposed to have with their employee. How exactly does that work? And the Rambam says, one has to be careful. Lava b'chol kocho. If I'm hired for a job, I have to give it my all. How do we know that? From Yaakov, who said, ki b'chol kochi avadati asavichem. He says, I gave it my all when I worked for your father. Even though your father was a crook and he was a criminal and he was tricking me back and forth, I did everything I could to try to be able to do the job to the best of my ability. And therefore, says the Rambam, we learn from Yaakov Avinu that we all have to do the same when we have a relationship with an employer. Now, does that mean that an employee never has a right to quit because I have to work with all my might, I have to give it my all? Does that mean I never have a right to pull back from the job? No, that wouldn't be reasonable either. So the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia, a very interesting halacha. Why would a person be allowed to quit a job? I gave someone my word. I told them that I'm going to come to the office every day, I'm going to do this job, and now I decide I don't want to go anymore. So what right do I have to back out of the job? So what are the guidelines? So the Gemara says as follows. Poel yachel lachzoba afilu b'chatzi hayom. An employer and an employee who have an understanding that I'm going to be here for a whole day, 9 to 5, the employee has a right at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, smack in the middle of the day, to say, you know what, I'm quitting. I'm allowed to leave. What do you mean? How am I allowed to leave? So the Gemara says the reason why is because the Pasuk says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. You're not a slave. You're only a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avadayhem v'lo avadim la'avadim. You're not a slave to any other human being. You're a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the Gemara says, with that understanding in mind, you're not bound to somebody forever. They can't stipulate that I'm never allowed to leave. That would be ridiculous. That would mean that I'm subservient to them. And because of that understanding, the Gemara says, therefore a poel is able to be chozer afilu bechatzi hayom, even halfway through the day. That would be something that would be allowed, even though it's against the wishes of the employer. That would be okay. That would be something that is sanctioned by halacha. Now, are there any guidelines? Are there any exceptions to the rule? Is there a time when we say an employee must stay? So the Rama says, listen carefully. The only time he's allowed to leave is when he gets up and he says, you know what? I'm frustrated. I can't stand this job anymore. And he walks out. However, if he says, oh, one second. Nisyakir hapolim. I think the rates went up and I'm not being paid enough. It's like the Rama's talking about our case. So the Rama says, the reason I'm quitting is not just because I'm in the mood, not just because I don't like this anymore, but rather because I'm looking over my shoulder and I see that other people are being paid more. So then the Rambam says, you're not allowed to quit. The Rambam says you're not allowed to quit. Why not? Because, he says, the only reason why a person's allowed to quit a job is because you're not an eved to your employee, to your employer. But over here you're saying, I am an eved to you. If you're going to pay me enough money, I'm happy to remain an eved. The reason I'm quitting is not because I can't stand working for you. It's not because I don't want to be subservient to you. But the reason I'm quitting is because I'm not being paid enough money. So therefore the Rama says, this whole stipulation will not apply. The only time it applies is if someone quits bistam. I just don't want to be here anymore. So I have a right to say at any given time in my life, I'm not interested in being here. I can pick another profession. I can pick another job. I can go to another office. Now, of course, if at the time that I signed up for the job, I said, I'm only going to be here for a year, then the year is up. Of course you're allowed to leave. Then the deal is over. But we're talking about where somebody made a commitment and then they leave in the middle. Now, are there any other grounds where one would not be allowed to quit the job? That is a very interesting case. So we'll see in a minute that there is another stipulation that is very, very important here. But even so, even when somebody quits a job in the middle, that's only talking about quitting a job and leaving. But here, when you go on strike, you're not quitting a job and leaving. You're quitting for a temporary period of time. And then you're assuming that you're going to come back next week. So all you're doing is basically disrupting the business, paralyzing their ability to do what they effectively would do if you were there. And you're not giving them the ability to hire someone else in your place. You're just going on strike for a short period of time, which is now making them lose money, which is now paralyzing their ability to move forward. But that's not the same as what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, or the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about a person having the ability to walk away from the job. Well, it's a free country. Walk away from the job and go somewhere else. But over here, that's not what you're doing. You're walking away from the job with the expectation that you're going to come back to the job. And in the interim period, you're expecting them to lose their ability to make a parnasa because of what you're doing. Does the halacha have anything to say about that? That's number one. And number two, the question is, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Bava Metzia, where the Gemara says, although it's true that a person is allowed to walk away and quit a job at any given time because I'm not an eved, I'm not subservient to the boss, however, the Mishnah does say, that if it's a davar ha'aved, I'm not just allowed to quit. So if I'm hired for a job, and by my leaving, it's going to be a significant loss of money as a result of that, it's not going to be so easy for them to be able to find another person to fill my place, then that would be something that maybe is not so simple. For example, the Rama says, if I'm a teacher, and a teacher is just going to get up one day and quit, well, the expectation is that the teacher is going to teach from the beginning of the school year till the end. In the middle of the year, the teacher gets up one day and just quits. Well, you didn't give the school enough time to find another person to fill your place. Would that be something that is a Devar HaAved, says the Rama? Yes. A teacher is not just allowed to quit for just out of nowhere. Teacher is expected to be in the classroom. Without the teacher being there, it's going to be a significant loss to the school and to the students and to the experience of everything that we're trying to accomplish. And therefore, a teacher doesn't have a right to just get up and quit one day because that would be a Devar HaAved. The Chazon Ish says, in our contemporary society, this is in the 1930s that he's writing this, but it's certainly true today. In our contemporary society, he says, for any employee to just get up and quit one day may not be fair. Again, he says, it depends on the nature of the business. You have to give some kind of advance warning to tell them, I just want you to know that I'm going to be leaving. Now, how much time do you need to give them? Chazon Ish says it depends on the nature of the business. It depends what it is. Like, for example, the Chazon Ish says, if let's say I rented a house and I want to pull back from the lease, I want to pull back from the rent, and I want to say, you know, go find someone else. I don't want to continue on with this lease anymore. I have to give them advance warning. Now, how much advance warning is necessary? The Gemara says it depends what kind of house it is. Is it a hotel room? Is it a house? Is it an apartment? Is it something that has a lot of other options where they can rent it out without me? So it depends how much time. The Gemara says sometimes I have to give 12 months advance notice. Sometimes I have to give 3 months. Sometimes I have to give just 30 days. So again, it depends, says the Chazon Ish, what kind of business we're talking about. So it sounds quite clear and straightforward that maybe a strike would not be permissible. Why? Because that certainly would be a davar ha'aved. If we're all threatening to strike, and as a result of that, we're paralyzing the business, that would be something that would not really be sanctioned al pi halacha at all. However, there is another piece, there's another wrinkle to this, which is a Gemara Maseches Baba Basra. The Gemara says, very interestingly, Rashayim b'nei ha'ir lahasnos al schar po'alim ulahasiya al kitzasan. We can get together. Let's say we all do some kind of job. We all work in our own industry. We're all lawyers. So all the lawyers in the town can get together and say that we want to make an industry standard. Lawyers need to be paid X. And if you're going to be paid less than X, you're not allowed to go to work. So if we all come together and we decide this is what we should do, it's like literally the Gemara is describing a union. No, isn't that what it is? Isn't this what a union is, basically, in simple terms? So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, I just find it fascinating. The Gemara says if you have a union and we all come together, Bahaskamas b'nei ha'ir, meaning most of the people who work in this industry come together and decide this is going to be the standard, and we make a regulation that anyone who's not willing to sign off on this is going to be heckled, is going to be thrown out of shul, is going to be kicked out of the business, whatever it is, we have a right to force the miut, to force the couple of people who are not going along with it to go along and agree to the conditions that the rest of the people in the industry are assuming, are deciding amongst themselves is considered to be reasonable. You want to be the renegade, you want to be the one who's going to show everybody, it's not right. We have a right to force you to come along with us. That's what the Gemara says. And from here, the Rush and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch will say, from here we learn that there's value to an industry standard. If we're all in the same industry and we come together and we decide that this is unfair or that these benefits are unreasonable or that these conditions are not something that we should accept, we all have a right to force each other. If most of the people in our industry, in our town, all agree to this, we have a right to force the ones who are not in agreement to go along with what we're saying. So that is basically what the Shulchan Aruch writes here. And the Ramah says, obviously, this is only the case when Rov B'nei Ha'ir agree to this. It's only when most of the people in the industry feel this way. What if you have Shtayim V'Shlosha Anashim, two or three people get together and say, oh, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to force everyone else. No, that's unreasonable. It has to be something that most of the people in the industry think is a reasonable thing to come to an agreement on. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Igros Moshe, Elu ha'union shabim medina senu. These unions that we have in our country, Yesh lehem makar medina. He says they have a source in halacha. What is the source? The source is exactly this Gemara that we just spoke about, that we have a right to gather together all of the professionals in this line of work, and we have a right to say that this is the standard and this is what we need to do. Now, that is when we're talking about the Postal Service Union and when we're talking about the railroad workers who have a union. What about when we're talking about a teacher's union? And if they're all going to go on strike, our kids are not going to be able to learn Torah. Our kids are not going to be able to go to school. It's going to be a major disruption. Or if you have, like we were speaking about, a doctor's union or a nurse's union, a medical staff union, who is telling everyone to go on strike, and as a result of that, patients are not going to have the critical care that they need, or it's not going to be to the same ramah, it's not going to be to the same level as it's expected to be. So this is something that already changes the dynamic. Rav Moshe has an additional tshuva where he says that he does not see a heter for teachers to go on strike. Unless, he says, lif'amim rechokim, it's very rare that you have a justification for a union of teachers to go on strike. V'hu davar muchrach, he says, it has to be very extenuating circumstances, and he says, v'chol shvisa tzarech ladon b'kovid rosh gadol, before you go on strike as a teacher's union, you have to really think very, very carefully. U've'etzem yesh lahatzrich al pi ha'ra'as chacham davka, you have to ask a shayla. Is this something that is so simple that we have a right to just come together and make a decision and make all the collateral damage that comes about as a result of our decision? It's not so pashut. And therefore, he says it has to be dealt with kovid rosh. It's not politics. It's not something that's just a negotiation going on. This is a very serious matter. And it's something that is not so clear that it would be permissible. Another critical consideration to think about when you're dealing with a teacher's union or with a medical staff that goes on strike is the following. What was the heter that we said in the first place for a person to quit in the middle of a job? What's the heter? Because I'm not subservient to my employer. I'm not an eved. I'm only an eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not an eved to you. And therefore, I can quit at any time I want. That's the halacha, and that's the way the Gemara formulates it. So the Chavos Yair in the 1600s, or Yair Bachrach, gets the following shaila. You hire a chazan for Yom Narayim. He comes to Rosh Hashanah, and he says, I can't stand the shul. You know, people aren't singing along with me. You didn't give me good enough accommodations. Whatever it might be, you didn't pay me enough. And they decide they're quitting before Yom Kippur. So now what are we going to do? Do I have a right to quit? So we go back and we say, what do you mean? We're stuck. What are we going to do now? The chazan says, what are you talking about? Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. I'm not subservient to you. I'm allowed to quit at any time I want. That's what the Gemara says. So because I'm not subservient to you, that gives me the right to walk away from the job. Says the Chavos Yair, not so fast. Why? Because when do we say, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, v'lo avadim la'avadim? That's only when you're dealing with a situation which is meleches hulin. If I'm a lawyer, I'm allowed to tell my employer, you know what? I don't work for you. I'm not your servant. I'm allowed to quit. If I'm working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning I signed up to be a chazan. Why am I being a chazan? So that a shul will function normally, so that we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that case, I am an eved. I'm an eved lemelech malchei amlachim. I'm actually subservient to the God who we are all servants to. And therefore, in that case, says the Chavos Yair, you have no right to quit in the middle. These halachas won't apply. Similarly, 200 years later, the Shalom Eshev, Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzin, gets a shaila about whether or not a contractor who is hired to build a shul has a right to quit in the middle. As we know, contractors quit all the time because it's a very frustrating industry and things go right, things go wrong, and people aren't happy. So the Shalom Eshev was asked, if a contractor signed up to do a building which is going to be a shul, is he allowed to quit in the middle? So he writes that perhaps he's not allowed to. Why? Because if you're a contractor on someone's house, you can say, I'm quitting. I don't like the conditions. I don't like what I'm being paid. I'm not happy with how the job is coming out. You can walk away. Why? Because I'm not an eved to you. I signed up to do a job, but at any point I can walk away. However, if we're dealing with a situation where I'm building a shul, you can't say I'm not an eved to you. You are an eved to me. Why? Because you're working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is such an amazing perspective when you think about it. Talk to a contractor or a plumber who's hired by a shul. It's dollars and cents. It's a business relationship like any other, says the Chavos Yair and the Shalom Eshev, not so simple. When you sign up to do work for a Beis HaKnesses, or for a shul, or for a school, or anything of that nature, you're signing up to do Avodas HaKodesh. You're signing up to do something that is the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And therefore, perhaps this whole discussion of a person being able, being allowed, to then quit in the middle of a job that they committed to, may not apply when we're talking about something which is in the category of Meleches Shamayim, which is another fascinating detail to consider as we go through this discussion. So it so happens, there were times when there were strikes in Eretz Yisrael and Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. 1983, there was a big strike, and later on there was another strike in 1988, and there was a big discussion at the time what was going to be. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote a letter at the time to all the medical staff in Shaarei Tzedek, and he said, you have no right al pi halacha to go on strike, because it's Lo Samad al Dam Reyecha, and this is Meleches Shamayim, and who said you have a right to do this? And he was negotiating with them, with all the religious doctors and nurses, that they had no right to then go on strike because it was going to cause a tremendous amount of harm to the patients who are going to be admitted into the hospital. So then they decided they're going to change. They're not going to go on strike, they're going to go on a hunger strike. So then Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote another letter, and he said, well, a hunger strike, who cares where you work? It doesn't matter if you work in a hospital, you work somewhere else. What heter do you have to damage your own body? Your body doesn't belong to you, so you're going to go on a hunger strike, you're going to lose all this weight, you're not going to be functioning normally, you're going to get sick as a result of it. Who said you have a right to do that? So he wrote a second letter that said, not only are you not allowed to go on strike in a hospital, you're not allowed to go on a hunger strike either. That's also something that he didn't feel was permissible. It happened again later. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that this was something inappropriate. The wrinkle here in this case is, and this is what I think is very interesting and something we need to think about, perhaps this would be a little different, because the way it was described to me was, if you don't sign on to the strike along with the rest of the medical staff in your hospital, they will ostracize you. They will shun you. Is that correct? They will never be willing to cooperate and participate along with you. So The argument I would say is as follows. While it's true that this is a Davar HaAved, it's Lo Samad Al Damrei Echa, and it's Melech HaShamayim, and all these different things, but let's think about it from a different perspective, and that is, let's say 6 months down the line, I'm the one nurse that decided I wasn't going to sign on to the strike. And now as a result of it, all my coworkers who work on the floor with me do not want to work with me. They don't like me. And they're not willing to participate. You don't think that's going to have a negative impact on my patients in 6 months from now? It's going to have a negative impact because one fine day, when I have a patient who Rahman al-Islam is coding, and I call for help, and I need other people to help me out because I can't deal with it on my own, or I need some assistance to have somebody else come into the room and treat the patient along with me, they're not going to be willing to cooperate with me the way they otherwise would have. And therefore, it's Lo Samad Adam Reyecha the other way. If I'm going to have a situation where my patient is going to suffer down the line as a result of the strained relationship I have with my coworkers at work, that's also something to consider, and it's something to think about in the opposite direction, that maybe that would be enough of a justification to allow a person, even though we have all these other considerations, maybe that would be enough to allow a person to sign on to a strike as well. I asked this question to Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon today as well. I asked it yesterday to Rav Avadia Toledano, who's a dayan in Yerushalayim, and Rav Avadia Toledano said, you need a major Adam Gadol to answer the question. I'm not big enough. I think he is big enough. He's just a tremendous anav, so he didn't want to answer me. I couldn't get through to my father. I didn't have a chance to talk to him, so I texted Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon yesterday and asked him what he thought. He responded today. He wrote a short tshuva, but basically he said in the end, you know, he's not sure. He went through some of the tzedakah. He didn't get into it in great detail, but one of the things he wrote is, does it make sense that the only people who don't have a right to ever get paid more is a doctor because they can never go on strike? Is that fair? That's also unreasonable. You have unions where people go on strike, and as a result of that, they get better benefits. They get better conditions. They get better pay. So what are you going to say? Everyone has a right to do that. Everyone in the world, other than teachers and doctors, would that really be fair? Then you go back to the original problem that we started with. If a doctor is not going to be paid well, he's not going to do his job well. I was reminded, Rabbi Yashiv was once asked the following shayla. You have a doctor who's called emergency from a hospital, and he drops everything else he's doing. They say you have a patient who needs an emergency surgery. Please come as quickly as you can. The doctor drops everything, jumps into his car, drives to the hospital. He's 10 minutes away. He calls into the operating room. He says, okay, I'm here. I'm 10 minutes away. They say, okay, we're waiting for you. This patient's really critical. They need your help. As soon as you can get here, just come straight to this room. We're all here. The whole team is assembled. Then he realizes, he starts feeling around his pockets. He realizes, when I left the house, I had my wallet. All my credit cards are in there, my license, everything. I can't find it. He can't find it. He is trying to figure out, am I allowed to drive back home? Because it must have fallen out of my pocket as I was leaving the house. I was just in such a rush. But now it's in the middle of the street. Someone's going to pick it up. I'm going to have to cancel all my credit cards. Someone's going to steal my money. Maybe someone's going to go buy a car that I'm not going to be able to refute the claim. All this balagan. Am I allowed to do that when I have a patient waiting on the operating table for me? So I'll say it's true. Lo Samad Al Damrei Echa and all these other things. So they asked Rabbi Yashiv, does a doctor have a right to then go back? So he says yes. Why? Because he's not going to have the presence of mind to do the surgery well. If the whole time while he's in surgery, he's going to be worrying about, oh, my credit cards and someone's going to steal it and my license and what am I going to do and all these other things, that's another thing to keep in mind. Maybe that would be a determining factor to figure out whether or not he has a right to disregard the patient for the moment in order that he should have the ability to focus better on the patient when he actually gets to the hospital. Even though the result of that driving back might be that the patient will have a major problem as a result of your coming a half hour late. But maybe this is something to consider because a doctor is also a human being. And a doctor is someone who also needs to have his mind very clear. And he also has the right to presence of mind. So maybe when you put all of that into the equation here, how well am I going to do my job as a nurse moving forward when I know that everyone on the floor hates me? Forgetting about the fact that I may need to call on them to help me with a patient later. But what about the fact that I feel very uncomfortable coming to work every day when I know that everybody hates me, everyone disagrees with me, everyone feels I was wrong in the decision that I made? So these are all factors. I think it's a, like Rabbi Rimon says, Zeinyan Ragish. I think it's true. It's a very sensitive issue, and there are many issues at play all together at the same time, but I think it's a fascinating issue to think about, and halacha has a whole lot to say about it. Again, we don't have enough time. It's only half an hour shiur, but it's something that I think is a very, very fascinating thing to consider. Yeah.